Welcome to the Golden Mike Podcast, where personal growth simply isn't enough. I'm your host, Mark Cordone, a positive psychology coach, a do-gooder from the island of misfit toys who founded the Joy Revolution. Each week, I'll rap with an extraordinary guest doing extraordinary things through their own revolutionary work to talk about the ups, downs, and all arounds of life. It's my mission to provoke and empower you through increased joy and inspire you to spark your own revolution to change history for the better. Welcome to the most serious happiness podcast in this multiverse. Welcome to the Golden Mike Podcast. And I wanted to go back. I think this goes back to the beginning of our conversation. How we kind of live in this world where I think if you ask anybody what they want, and you can get to the emotional core of it, this idea of being happy, right? Oftentimes, happy and freedom. And yet oftentimes people have that idea of happiness and freedom, and then it's like, but also I want to live within the check boxes of society. I don't want to be that much of an outcast, right? And so you have this piece, what someone thinks of you is none of your business. I think you said it earlier, right? Yeah. But we want to make it our business.
Totally.
Right?
Because that's the ego, right? Yeah. The ego wanting to be superior or recognize ourselves as inferior. But on some point, right, the ego's job is to put us superior so that we can navigate our way through life in a society space.
Yeah. Now,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you first.
No, you first. You first, my friend.
To your point, it comes down to in those spaces, right? So if I still want to, I don't want to be that much of an outcast, that's when the fear comes into play, right?
Right.
Fear of what other people think. That's what we talked about. It's one of the most powerful things that is out there.
Yeah.
And if we can do all of the above, if we can create gratitude, we can be here now and not care what anybody else thinks because it's none of our business. And to go to that point, it is such a powerful statement. In fact, the first time I heard that, I was like, well, I'm not really sure I got buying it. Of course, it's my business. They're talking about me. Right? Why? Who other business is it? Right? And that's where we come from the ego. And I don't mean that, oh, you've got an ego. We all have, that's part of the human psyche. We all have ego.
Sure.
And so it's really more so that.
And it's not a bad thing that we have an ego, by the way.
That's what I meant by that. Yes, correct. In fact, it's part of being human, literally.
Yeah.
But really what it comes down to is if I had been, let's just say I have this guy in front of me named Joe, and Joe thinks that I am obnoxious. I'll just keep it basic. And me saying, oh, well, why does Joe think I'm obnoxious? I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm a nice guy. I feel like I'm right. That's all from my perspective. I am exactly who I am. And I know why the reasons I am, because I live this life. Mm-hmm. But now Joe was born to his parents. And had I been born to Joe's parents and lived every single second of Joe's life, literally, and had every lesson, every experience, every fear, every response to those fears, every traumatic experience or untraumatic experience, every conversation, and every single second of his life I had lived up until that moment where he came across Ryan Stanley, I would find Ryan Stanley obnoxious too. And so what he thinks of me, it's none of my business, because it literally has nothing to do with me and has everything to do with him. And my life has nothing to do with him. So why should it matter what he thinks about me? I'm not living my life for Joe. And even if Joe is my best friend, or Joe is my parent, or Joe is my sibling, they still literally have so many billions of thoughts over a lifetime. I'm making that number up, but you get the point.
Yep.
60 to 70,000 thoughts a day, right? So that's billions,
yep,
per se.
Yeah.
All these different experiences, all these that are even twins. Like I'd love to do an experiment. Not really. I don't want to do an experiment on twins. I'd love to look into some information, like putting twins together and see what the similarities are and differences are for those who live together and those who live separately, that type of a thing.
Absolutely. It's a study on nature and nurture, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
And even just experience as a thing. And so when we say it's none of my business, it's because it literally has nothing to do with me. And if I can, and my business is to focus on who I want to be and how I want to show up and who I want to create and who I want to inspire and who I want to empower to live their best lives. This is me. Those are my purposes and my mission that I've chosen. But so that has nothing to do with what Joe thinks of me. And so it's literally none of my business. And so stop wasting your time worried about what Joe thinks, because it is literally that. It's a waste of time. Now, if Joe was an author of a personal development book who was extremely successful in this example, right? Or like a tremendous successfully coach, I could go to him and say, hey, this is what I've been working on. I'd love your opinion and I'd love your perspective for a lesson and for an opportunity for growth. That's different. But if I'm just overall living my life in fear or concern of what most people think that have nothing to do with the path that I'm choosing to be on, then it does not serve that path.
So are you saying that it, at this point in your life, it doesn't get under your skin?
No, I would say for the most part, I mean, I'm certainly human, but really to 99% of the time, I feel like if it does, Mark, it's a great question as I'm thinking out loud. Yeah. If it does for about 7 seconds.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Man, if I were to start a hockey team, I would have you as the goalie because like you could totally deal with like the crowd booing. I absolutely love it. And it does. If I'm sitting here right now and I actually added up how much I think about what other people think about me.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm wasting a lot of time.
100%.
I'm wasting a lot of time.
And now the reason why that's a waste, and again, so let's also go back to anyone who's listening, Mark, you, anyone else. If you are, and we all do, by the way, this is, we all humans, right? So we all do spend time thinking about what other people think of us.
Yeah.
But to your point of whether wasting a lot of time, it's not only that it's wasting, but it's not utilizing time towards something that does serve your path.
Right.
You could use that exact same amount of physical thought and energy, creating thoughts that instead of caring what someone else thinks, you are creating a life that serves other people, as an example, which I know you do, right, on a regular basis. So now you're taking that energy, instead of putting in a defensive worst case scenario mindset, you're instead putting into best case scenario and creative mindset. So you're going from coping to creation. Instead of coping with the effects of what other people's thoughts or opinions are, you are creating a life that serves the world. And it's the exact same amount of time it takes to do both. And one makes you feel a hell of a lot better and has a better purpose.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. My mind wanders and Joe talks about this too. Like it just wanders like a dog sometimes, right? Until we call it back and tell it to sit. And I wonder how many people have gone to their deathbed worrying about and wasting a lot of that time, you know, and it's,
most. Right?
It's really, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I read a book by Bronnie Ware. And she was a nurse, end stage nurse, and she said that most of the people that she had seen had said like that they had had major regrets in their life, not giving themselves enough time to be happy, not giving themselves the permission to do what they wanted to do, not being with their friends and family more. And I'm like, that was actually the time that I chose to go into positive psychology because I was like, I don't want my last breath to look like that. And still, I wonder how much of some of these musings or things that I call musings, but they're really worries, are contributing to, you know, I could streamline that still. I could still streamline that. I could get it down to 7 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, and then boom, done. Next.
And you can always ask. I mean, listen, there's a really easy trick. I say easy, it takes practice like anything else. But at any point, if you're feeling like, but when we care what someone else thinks of us, we are uncomfortable. We're physically uncomfortable, right? We feel nervous in some capacity. Yeah. We're unhappy, right?
Yeah.
Because that's our body reacting to these thoughts.
Yeah.
And so at any given point, you can ask yourself, how is this thought serving me? Mm-hmm. And if it's not, that's okay. It's not like, oh, I shouldn't have thought it then. No, because then you're judging yourself, right? So how is this thought serving? Like I had this thought, how is it serving me? And the answer is it's not. Okay, so cool. Yeah. So now that I know that, instead of wasting any more time thinking about the thought or why it's not serving me or where it came from or whatever, if it's quick and easy answer, I know this thought is not serving me. Next question, what is the thought that would be serving me in this moment?
Mm.
And when you take it from this detached perspective, well, but I had this thing happen and that's why I'm thinking, I didn't ask that. I asked, what is the thought that's serving you? I know, but my mom told me this when I was a kid. I know. I got it. But how is the thought serving you? Well, it's not.
Yep.
Yeah, we said that. So what is it? You know what I mean? It's literally that simple. And when you detach yourself from the identity of this person that life is happening to me, these people are thinking this thing because of the way that I behaved. For every single person who we can imagine doesn't like the way we behave, then we're just not for them.
Right.
There are billions and billions of people on this planet.
Yeah.
And there are so many who align exactly to our story and our vibe and who we are. And those are the people who we're speaking to. Those are the people who we want to think about when we think about what people that quote unquote think about me, right? We want to think about people who are inspired the way that I'm inspired and align with my message, because that's why my message is here. Joe calls it the song of my soul. And I love that. Like, let the song of your soul be heard and felt by the world, especially when it's there to serve the world and for the good, you know, the what does he say? The good of all mankind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Joe, come into your body. I got to say, the first time I heard that, I mean, I was like, wow. But now all of a sudden it's very cool to do some of that stuff. Go ahead.
No, also, I was gonna say, listen, I mean, I could talk about Joe Dispenza all day long. I mean, there's his, I've shared meditations of his in the past with people, and I always give them like a warning. I'm like, now listen, before you actually listen to the meditation, go check out some of his stuff on YouTube, like learn the concepts behind it. Like, just hear this man's thoughts, the work that he's done. It's science-based. It's like he said, I really want to take the mystical and I want to make it understood. I want to like bring the science aspect of the mystical. What happens when you have a positive thoughts? What happens physically in your body when you create gratitude? What happens in your brain? Like all these things. So it's very proof driven. And but then, you know, you hear his first meditation. He's like, you know, you're in space. You know, like, oh, my God, what happened? But when you see the videos that he does, I saw a video and he says, listen, I do that for a couple different reasons. One, I don't want you to think that this is Joe Dispenza talking. I want you to forget that I am who I am and really just listen to the message.
Yeah.
Two, from a scientific standpoint, we measure people's physical bodies and brain's reaction when I said certain things in certain tones. I'd be doing different meditations and people's bodies and brains would react in unison in certain ways when I spoke a certain way.
Yeah.
And so we figured out a way to do that. And that's so all of his tones in these meditations, which are a little bit weird the first couple of times you listen to them. Once you get past that, listen again, it's caring what someone else thinks. This is weird. I'm judging it, or just being curious as to how can this make this the best life possible? Just step into it. You're winning.
Absolutely. Actually, the last time I listened to one of his meditations was 2 days before my dad passed.
Yeah,
and it was the first time I really sat down and I stopped. Sometimes it would feel like when I'd listen in groups, I felt like a kid at church, like that wanted to laugh, like you know how you hold it in. But then this time, I mean, the ride I went on, the way that the universe folded over on itself.
Yeah. I do one of those every day, by the way.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. I think it was a moment of, I can't even explain the type of joy that I had felt was this one in which it's like, yep, the universe is massive. You are a tiny speck in it, but you absolutely matter in it.
Yeah.
You absolutely matter.
Because you are it.
Yeah. It's
right. I just got emotional just saying it because you are it. You are you, not only do you matter because you are it, but, you know, it's consciousness.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Some of my biggest lessons from this that I never, and I talk about why I leveled up so much. Like I said, I mean, I'm doing this 45 minutes to an hour plus every single day. Yeah. So much time literally directly spent in gratitude. Mm. Like to spend 40 minutes thinking about nothing but loving life itself, which is something I would have never done on my own. Mm-hmm. And when you start to do that, you have a new understanding for like how to love life for life itself.
Mm.
And it is like this, it's pretty yeah. To your point. So every Sunday, instead of going to church, I do a walking meditation. Mm. And there's a field behind my house. This was like all during COVID. Like we in New Jersey, like we were on serious lockdown. Like nobody was going anywhere for a long time.
Yeah.
And so there was this field out behind my house and I just started doing like loops, like it's an hour plus long. I just did like this walk around this field and I had some pretty magical experiences and it's changed my entire life.
Anything to do with mushrooms back there?
I wish. Unfortunately, not yet.
Are you planning to do some ayahuasca in the future, man?
You know what? I'm open to opportunity, Mark.
Okay.
I'm always open to expanding the mind.
Okay, if that's something that you ever choose, I might go with you. I'd love to have my first experience with you.
It could be a Saturday, a nice way to spend a Saturday afternoon, like really just diving in deep into the universe.
What a nice leisure day just that we could have.
Just cranking that pineal gland up and seeing where it goes.
I absolutely love it. I and just to wrap up on this piece about what someone else thinks of you, oftentimes we'll, at least what happened with me, I don't know if this happened with you, for a big part of my life, I became a people pleaser, and I didn't, I didn't see it, and I didn't see how the depth of it. And then you know, you realize that part of the people pleasing is to is that ego thinking about what is this person going to think about me, and then I'm just going to feed what they want to hear versus what I have to say.
And it's a fear of not being loved.
Yeah,
and it's a way to receive love. When you people please, you're in a way. I just need to make sure everybody likes me. I just need to make sure that everybody likes it. I'm taking care of everybody, and this way they like me, and they think I'm a nice guy. And then every time I see them, they still think I'm a nice guy. I just need to be loved.
Yeah. And it's I think it's ongoing for me. It's ongoing. It's an ongoing journey for me. But it's the perfect talk for me for me to have with you. And I hope the audience is enjoying this. Just in case you're tuning in at the hour, it's I'm with Ryan Stanley here, author of Be Patient, Be Present, Be Joyful, a first aid kit for the emotional bumps, scrapes, and bruises of life. I'm curious about this idea of being patient. Because I think we've talked about being present and we've talked about being joyful. And in the book, it's almost like you have it in a stepwise presentation.
Yeah.
Like before you do one, start with being patient. What was the thinking for starting with patience?
I think the starting with patience is because it's something that everybody can understand. Not necessarily how to be patient, but everybody says, yes, I've been impatient. You know, mm-hmm. You start getting into the presence. It's like, oh, what does that mean to be present? Do I have to be like a monk? I don't know. Does that have to do with meditation? I kind of don't want to do that. I don't know. Joyful. Yeah, that's cool. I guess I can be happy, whatever. I mean, I get that a little bit, but maybe I don't want to be. So to start off with patience is something that everybody can say, I've been impatient. And it is such an easy recognition of a cause of stress. Mm. Again, even just going back to sitting in traffic. Mm-hmm. You think about all the time. I had like one of my favorite moments. Actually, I mean, there's thousands of them, right? But definitely a favorite moment for me was one time I was late for an important thing in New York City, and I was sitting in traffic, and I totally wanted to be there, and I was like really late, like 25 minutes at least, and it was with a pretty important person in my life, or like from my perspective, mm-hmm. That I did not want, from a business standpoint, that I did not want to be late for, and I found myself like super stressed and like, oh my gosh, and then I just stopped and I thought, you know, how many other times in my life have I been late for something, was stressed about it, and then I got there and basically nobody noticed. Basically, it really wasn't that big of a deal. The rest of the night went on to be amazing and fantastic, or whatever it was, right? And it was like the last five or six times I was thinking, okay. And so in that moment, I just decided, I'm like, this impatience, this stress doesn't serve me. Who would I rather be? And this is a really interesting question about patience, but I just, as a way of being, like that was certainly a wake-up call for me. And in that experience, I got there, and like the person I was waiting for was late, and it wasn't a big deal. And we ended up also having a great time because
you
guys
were probably talking through the field.
That became my focus, right? Yeah, totally. Yeah. So the challenge is that people are impatient all the time, and they're impatient with themselves. They're impatient with their career. They're impatient with, I'm not in the relationship that I want to be. All these stuff, they want everything to either happen now or yesterday, especially in today's world when you're used to getting everything immediately.
Right.
And so, and by the way, I touched on this in the book, being patient doesn't mean just doing nothing. It doesn't mean just sitting on your hands. It means still moving forward, but moving forward, knowing that the outcome is going to occur exactly as it's supposed to and when it's supposed to. My job is not only to keep going, but to be the best version of myself in the meantime. Mm. In fact, there's a quote, or it's a Swahili proverb. I'm going to open up the book again. That chapter opens up with a Swahili proverb that says, patience attracts happiness. It brings near that which is far. So because you feel like if you're impatient, you feel like this is just it's never going to happen. I'm already late. And you come up with all the, again, reacting, thinking of the worst case scenario. You're thinking of all the different reasons it's not going to, you know, being late is going to ruin your life. As opposed to saying, listen, I'm moving forward. I'm here now. I'm moving forward. Who do I want to be while I'm waiting for this to unfold?
Right.
And how by me being more of who I want to be in the now, while I'm waiting to unfold, will I enjoy the now right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, and it really folds in well with those points that we were making about your aha points that you've had in your life, and especially when it's like the acting as if, right? It's sort of like we don't have it, so we don't I'm not going to be grateful until I get it. Why do I need to be grateful now? Well, maybe that's why it's not showing up as fast as you want it to, because you're, totally. You know, it's you know, you're not having a good time, and why would it show up?
And then that's the crazy thing. It's like, so have a good time anyway.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Well, I want to get there so I can have a good time. Well, what if you had a good time in the meantime?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I can't because it's not here. But how true is that?
Look at you, man. Look at you. We're here with modern day philosopher Ryan M. Stanley.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. It, you know, and again, I'll go back to Dr. Joe, but he says, it's like, I guarantee you the people who are sitting here creating gratitude for how and creating the feeling that they're going to have once they get what they want, they're not worried about it coming because they're feeling so good right now anyway.
That is true.
And so not only does it allow you to enjoy the now and enjoy your way of being in the existence, but you're not worried about it happening or not, because you're not fighting for it. You're not chasing it. In fact, the opposite. By feeling how you're going to be feeling once you get it, you are drawing it to you.
And I think that's what the proverb is talking about, right? You're drawing it to you. I also love in the first part of your book where you're talking about patience. It isn't it's not patience as this sort of waiting game. It's I read it as patience is this acknowledgement that the things that those burning desires that you want in out of life are on their way. Kind of like a when you order a pizza, right? You know that the second you order a pizza, it's not going to be there, but you know that it's on the way. You just know it, right? And when you know it's on the way, you can take your mind off it and do a couple other things. You can do a couple other things before the pizza gets
there. Get out the plates, get out the ranch dressing.
Exactly. Get out the plates. You know, it's the acting as if, because the pizza will arrive. Hey, it's Mark. I hope you're digging the Golden Mike podcast. If you have or are just starting your own revolution fueled by joy, there's a site I created for you. If you, like me, believe that personal growth is simply not enough, if you, like me, are committed to changing history for the better in both micro and macro ways, check out joyrevolution.com. In there, you'll find an archive of our over 200 Golden Mike Live Facebook shows, and of course, our podcast that you're currently listening to. Check out the blogs highlighting how positive psychology and joy theory apply to your everyday life. There's even some cool clips from our Joy Revolution course geared towards influencers, speakers, writers, and change agents. It's all there. Go to joyrevolution.com. That's joyrevolution.com. Let's get back to the episode. It's just in the incubation stage. It's being made, it's being delivered. So it's an active form of patience, and an active form of patience that starts with breathing. And I really got a lot out of that part where you were just like, okay, you want to be patient? Take a breath.
Yeah.
Talk more about that. Talk more about the breathing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was going to see if I can look for it in the book, but I mean, I think breathing literally, if it's intentional, right, mm-hmm. It is, you are physically adding oxygen to your body. Mm-hmm. You are taking in deep breaths. You are filling your lungs with what your body needs to survive, not only survive, but thrive. And when you do that, you all of a sudden are sending oxygen throughout your whole body. And when you take time to, in fact, the way the book is written out, it's talking about, it's like, okay, so right now, think about what would it be like to create a person who is patient, right? And I think, now take a deep breath. Now, did you feel that? It's like, of course you felt it, because you created it. Like, you created patience in the moment. And even by choosing to be curious as to what patience feels like, you are in that moment creating patience by accident. And so breathing, obviously, it's what we do to live. And so when we take time to focus on our breath, it is a way to kind of bring us more present as well. But it brings us to an opportunity to focus on that instead of what we don't have.
Yeah, it's It's wild because it starts with the chapter starts with a breath, right?
Yeah.
And also at the same time, in talking about breathing, I mean, we're not talking about like complicated breath work here.
No.
But also at the same time, when you start being intentional about your breathing, I mean, that's where natural DMT starts coming out. That's where, if you've ever taken a couple breaths, fight or flight starts going away. It's incredible the way the body regulates itself when you start breathing. I mean, we get into these states where we're impatient and we're shallow breathing. And it just makes it even more anxious of a moment
physically
for our body. Yeah.
Our body is this amazing, amazing machine that people don't take enough time to think about all the different things that are going on. Even just to stand up, you know, the calculations your brain is doing from a balance standpoint, right? As you move, as you sway. I mean, you think about it, a little child who's learning to walk, they don't walk because it's a learned thing. Your brain has to figure out what it's like to kind of stand. And to balance itself, like that's going on all the time. Not to mention that your heart is physically beating, your body, your organs are doing all the things they're doing. Your skin is, you know, peeling and changing and growing and all that. Like your body's doing some amazing things all the time.
It's its own universe.
Totally. And so to recognize that and to say, okay, so my job. In fact, I had this, and this might take it a little bit different direction, but it just came up to me, so I'll share.
Keep going.
I was on this walking meditation last weekend, and I don't remember where I was in outer space.
Space.
But, yeah, exactly. Space. But when I came out, I had this concept. In fact, I'm going to be doing, a podcast on it. And like this idea of if I were to be born today as a 45-year-old man, and I were to suddenly wake up and like look at my hands and be like, okay, this is a being. I'm this being now. I'm on this planet Earth. What do I want to do? I could literally do whatever I want. Right? I can be whoever I want now. There's no past. There's no history. There's no issues. I'm just this person right now. And so part of that for me was like, oh my gosh, I'm now consciousness on this planet. I better take care of this body so that I can enjoy this experience called life even more.
Yeah.
And so to your point, like, so how can I breathe? How can I choose who I want to be in the moment? And when you do create longer, slower breaths, it's physically telling your body it's okay to breathe. And when we do that, our body like responds. Our body's language is feeling, right? Yeah. Our mind's language is words, typically. We think of thoughts, but our body's language is feeling. And so by breathing in and choosing who we want to be, and we want to be somebody who is creating calmness, even if I'm not feeling calm, I have the opportunity to create calmness by asking myself, how would a calm person behave in this moment? And all of a sudden you're going to go, well, you can't because this is, I know, but that's not my question. My question is, how would a calm person behave in this moment? What is something that I could do to create calmness if I wanted to? No, but this doesn't matter. What if our brain's going to go to this place?
I love hearing Ryan's inner dialogue with his current self and his like optimal self coming together and coaching him. Yeah.
You can always bring it back with curiosity. So breathing is important, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the more we do it intentionally and with purpose, if we're feeling moments of stress or overwhelm or impatience or anxiety, to stop and to breathe. You know, we talk about, we talk about presence, just to recognize what your five senses are doing.
Sure.
It's a great way to become present. What if I'm worried about someone else somewhere else thinks, or I'm worried about what might happen in the future, or I'm worried about what happened 6 weeks ago or what happened, whenever, you're not here now. And if you want to be here now, what do I physically feel? Can I feel the air against the skin of my face? What am I smelling? What am I hearing? What do I see? Can I see colors? Can I recognize, take a look outside and literally recognize the beauty of life that is surrounding me always and in all ways?
Mm.
And when you start to step into the power of that, we go through this thing, you know, we just take life for granted, and it's not this thing we shouldn't take. I'm judging the world for being this imperfect mess, but I am saying like, this is like, right now is a beautiful, amazing gift, and it can be overwhelming, actually. And if I were to say to you, Mark, listen, tomorrow I'm putting you on a spaceship, and don't worry about the science behind it. This is just know this is going to happen, and it's going to work. And I'm going to fly you to this planet that's similar to Earth, but very different. And when you get there, you'll definitely be able to breathe. You'll definitely be able to eat. There'll definitely be everything that will sustain you. It's going to have different trees, and it's going to have different animals, and it's going to have different, like everything's going to be so unique. When you got there, you would just be walking around in awe. Right? Every single day, like, I can't believe this. This is amazing. Like this, I can't believe I'm living here. And that's what Earth is. Mm. And we've just had it every single day of our lives. And so we take it for granted. We don't realize that it is this amazing place that is sustaining us. Mm. And when we spend time, hours a day, watching news or scrolling through social media of things that aren't serving our journey, we get caught up and distracted from anything, from recognizing what a wonderful gift the now actually is.
Absolutely. I'm actually thinking back to the weeks after, I took a couple,
yeah,
a couple of days off, you know, after, yeah, it, during the summer. And I was sitting outside and I was back here in Florida, and it had been a long time since I had reveled in the sound of the cicadas from Florida, yeah, when they start screaming and then it goes in stereo, and then you hear one side and another, and then I had closed my eyes then, and I don't know if you do this, but like you know, those little particles in your eyes,
yeah,
like when you close your eyes and you'll play games with them, and I'm like, I totally forgot that this mark existed in me. Yeah. This was like the kid mark that used to go, you know, into the backyard, and it was always an adventure. And I was really, really grateful that I was able to hit that reset button. But it doesn't need to happen with a loss of a loved one either. It just happened that was the sequence that it happened in, and it was a great sequence. It was a perfect sequence, but it doesn't have to happen that way. And I think this is one of the things that in your book it says. It's like, ooh, are you in a hurry? Well, things will come faster if you slow down. And it's like, oh, this guy is so woo, but it's like so good, right?
Because you actually then are in the way to see the pieces falling into place the way they are.
Exactly. And that's one of the things I really love about this book. Be patient, be present, be joyful. Now, I want to talk about one thing. You've talked about certain parts of your life where you're going through major up levels. And I think what I'm most curious about is when someone goes through an up level, number one, are they aware that they're going through an up level? And so that's a question that I wanted to throw out to you. And then number two, is it an ecstatic up leveling that's happening? Does that make sense?
No. So I'm sure it makes sense to you. I'm just kidding. So it makes sense, but I could use some more clarity on what do you mean by ecstatic? Like, is it super exciting?
So, what do you mean? Well, I think one of the things that I guess to throw a couple things out there is some of the times I knew that I was going through an up leveling, I needed a lot more support from people. Because a lot of things that I thought were real would be, you know, would be the illusion would be going away. And like, it's almost like a certain ego death. The ego wants to hold on to those illusions. And then as those illusions go away, the ego starts to fight back and say, no, you need this to be real.
Of course.
And so for you, I mean, describe some of your up levelings, because I think a lot of people might think of it as, okay, here he is at a certain state of bliss. Now he goes to another level of bliss. He goes from one to another.
No, yes, correct. So that even just that last part is totally makes sense, and I understand.
Okay.
So I think everybody's experience is going to be unique and different, right? So
sure.
I can only speak from my own experience,
right?
And in my experience, I think that I didn't know. I guess there's different points. So no, as I'm thinking out loud, I think I knew when I was going through different up leveling, and it was typically due to some sort of a traumatic experience. It was due to some sort of unhappiness, with a background of knowing that wasn't the only option, right? Mm-hmm. So I was feeling a way emotionally that I didn't like, and mm-hmm. so in a way to cope or strive to be different, I started looking for other options.
Mm,
so I wanted to do something about it. I knew the background I'll take it back to, so that when I had my first, who knows, there might have been more, but the ones we talked about, right? When I first kind of going through IPEC, that was different because I was taking a course and I was coaching people and I was being coached and I was asking myself. So that was a gradual thing where I learned so much about myself just by being in the course and coaching others and becoming a coach.
Right.
So that one wasn't a traumatic experience. That wasn't in response to emotion as much as it was just life lessons, right? That kind of set a deeper foundation for who I would grow to be. But other ones had to do with certainly emotional upheaval. Mm-hmm. And I think there were points of me saying, and again, one of my, in fact, so the back of the book, there is a section called CPR.
Yes.
And it's made up of all these just different blurbs from my Instagram page. And I was on this conversation, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday, and we were talking about the back of the book there, and I hadn't really thought about it up until yesterday. And so that's why it's coming up for me again now. But when I wrote a lot of like my Instagram today, like I typically take some cool pictures, and I've got some, you know, some marketing stuff on there as well for my coaching business, for my book, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I don't write as many deep thoughts as I used to at one point. And there is a point where I was, I mean, I know that this was an awakening. This was a leveling up, and I was going through stress, and I was starting to look at life for what it actually was. And instead of getting caught up in my emotion, getting caught up in my stress, and getting caught up in my overwhelm of loss or disappointment or anything like that, I was instead feeling life. And I read a book called A Severe Mercy. And it is, and he talks a lot about, in fact, I forgot what a big influence that book had on my life. But it talks a lot about understanding the I don't know if he puts it in the power of now, but really understanding the beauty of life itself. And it's kind of a biographical story about a guy and his wife ends up, and just their kind of growth together. And she ends up dying of cancer, and his just experience being on this journey with her, and then what they did in life. And he was friends with C.S. Lewis, and there's a, it's a pretty powerful book. It's a little bit drawn out here and there, but anyway, I clearly remember like taking some of these concepts of realizing how beautiful life was in a time when I wasn't feeling like life was very beautiful.
Yeah.
And through that, and by seeking it, becoming aware of it, and starting to look for it based on that, I came up with all with a lot of these concepts. And so I certainly leveled up at that point. And then once you kind of realize a certain truth, you kind of can't go back, right? So at that point, it's not that I'm just leveling up and I'm this blissful person or you know,
right.
thing, as much as I just have a new understanding of certain ways of being. I just have a new understanding of certain truths.
Right. Right.
And then once that took hold, and that is X amount of time where you start to live in those truths. And then I think, you know, actually, and again, forgive the stutter, I'm also thinking out loud. There was another, so actually even before that, I think that was my second level up. I think before that, there was a time where I had a physical traumatic experience that changed a lot about my life. And I had a lot of questions after I came out of it. And I was unhappy, and I was worried. I was having panic attacks, and I was stressed, and I was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And that was a time when I really, to your point, had people in my life that supported me, but actually supported me by challenging me, like, is this who you want to be? And it felt really uncomfortable, and it was really painful, but it absolutely helped me level up. So to answer your question, everybody is going to have a different experience, but I think once you get to a certain point, we'll call it leveling up, once you have a certain amount of knowledge or a certain amount of understanding of how life feels and works for you, and you understand what your truths are, and there are these, as you call them, universal laws. There are universal truths that I'm discovering that once you accept them and start living them and stepping into life, stepping into your greatness, because that's what you're here to do. It's an amazing journey.
Yeah. And you know, the big reason I wanted to throw that out there is for any audience member who might be like, well, must be nice to be Stanley right now.
Totally.
Because I'm going through this shit show.
Yeah.
And that shit show could actually be like the rise of a phoenix moment that's going on right now.
I don't have to cut you off. I'll just say really quickly, there's a lot of people out there who are going through that right now, especially in
2020. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guess what, my friend? You have made it. You have earned the right to go into the Golden Mike game show part of this the segment of the show.
Is there game show music?
Joe Fern, you don't hear the music Joe Fern's playing right now?
Please say yes. Oh, there it is. There it is. Right? Thank you, Joe Fern.
I love it.
Not only am I hearing it, but I'm dancing a little bit. I'm feeling it.
Exactly. And so I think you've talked quite extensively about this, but I would love for you to finish the statement. I want to know how you embody joy. And so I've just broken it down into a few questions. Joe Fern is sitting there with the buzzer or with the green light to let you know whether or not you're right or wrong.
Can I put my hand on the buzzer? Just like I got one hand behind my back.
Absolutely. Family Feud style right here. Right.
Top 10 answers on the board.
So yeah, 100 people said.
Right, everybody said.
Okay, so the first question I'd like you to finish the answer to is this: joy smells like
teen spirit. No.
Ah, that is not my answer. The 45-year-old drops a 90s reference. I love it. I love it. Is that your answer?
No, I will say that joy smells like the change of season.
Looking over at Joe Fern. Yes, Joe Fern gives you the thumbs up. One for one. Amazing.
Joy looks like the sunrise over the ocean.
He knows that we're both by oceans. We both give it to you. Yes.
Nice.
Two for two, son.
High fives all around. I'm giving my hugs to like my family along the line here. thumbs up back of the thing.
By the way, these applause are not fake applause. He's actually clapping on the other end there. It's amazing. You're on a streak now. Let's see if we can get you on fire. Cool. Joy sounds like.
For me, joy sounds like a fish concert.
Fish concerts. Yes, he gives you a yes on it. Yes. 3 for 3.
That's fish with a PHISH for those of you not in the know. If you don't know who they are, look into them. In fact, they have an album called Joy and a song called Joy.
Yeah, and probably when they play it live, it's about 4 hours long, right?
There are many, many long versions, yes.
Joy tastes like.
Wow. Joy tastes like. I'm gonna have to go deep into the noggin for this one. I'm here. I'm thinking about it in the present moment. Joy tastes like a cupcake when I was like a little kid, like one of those. I don't know, like a Twinkie, not a Twinkie. What are those? The brown chocolate ones with the white swirl on top.
I know what you're talking about.
A Hostess
cupcake. I'm looking over at Joe Fern. Joe Fern, did he make it in time? Ooh, hold on. Joe Fern's checking the replay. At the buzzer, he made it. Joy tastes like a Hostess cupcake, baby.
That was fun.
Could he go 5 for 5? Could Ryan Stanley go 5 for 5 here? We're not going to take a commercial break because we want him to stay in the zone and see how he completes. Joy feels like.
By the way, I have a blindfold on for all of this, and so I hope I'm doing it right. I don't know if that was just me. I was supposed to do that.
Yeah, you got it. You got the blindfold. Absolutely.
Joy feels like joy. I know that's an obnoxious answer. That's a judgment of my answer. Joy feels like now. I don't know. Joy feels like now is what comes up for me.
He's looking at the I don't know part. Oh, he's giving me the yes. 5 for 5.
Two thumbs up for now.
Ryan Stanley goes 5 for 5. On the mini game, which actually takes you to the bonus round.
Whew.
The bonus round is an open-ended question, my friend. I think you know this. I get to work with people on a regular basis who are leading and going through joy revolutions.
Yeah.
Now, as you know, there can be a revolution of the heart inside of you of joy, or there could be a revolution that you're leading on the outside. Through your passions, your commitments, your energy. So that can be an internal or external thing. So answer it however you want.
I'm ready.
But at this point in your life, September, what is it? 16th, some 17th, something like that.
Yeah.
2020. Ryan Stanley, what is your joy revolution?
My joy revolution is both of those things, Mark. It is both an internal and an external always. It is waking up every single morning on purpose and recognizing that the now is a gift and that I am here today to be the absolute best version of myself and empower. And by doing so, empowering others to do the same. My joy revolution is to do all those things for me to decide exactly who I want to be as a father, as a husband, as a brother, as a friend, as a human being, as a professional, as an entrepreneur, as an author, as a speaker, as a coach, as a thought leader. And to create that exact existence and be the light that I want to see in the world at the same time.
That is not a beauty pageant answer, people. but it sounds like one because he went up to, and this isn't, this
and
will
such.
Be for our,
and such.
and such. but he went up to level 7-6 on that answer, and I absolutely love it. That's a little wink wink nod nod to our IPEC brothers and sisters doing their thing. I do appreciate what you're doing. I do appreciate connecting with you. When I was a rookie and looking to come over to IPEC, and there was no looking back after that. I don't want to say, can you believe where we're at these years later? But I totally can believe where you and I are at these years later. It's awesome.
The best part about that is we get to believe where we're going to be in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that is whatever we decide it is.
Absolutely. It's amazing. And it's been amazing to have you on. Be patient, be present, be joyful. A first aid kit for emotional bumps, scrapes, and bruises of life by Ryan Stanley. It can go in your back pocket and chill with you because you never know when a bump, scrape, or bruise may come. And you never know when you're just going to have to open a page and take a breath. It's awesome to have you on the show, Ryan. And thank you again for coming on.
Mark, truly, honestly, and purely my pleasure, my honor. I'm blessed to be here. I've literally been thinking about this since I think the beginning of the year or last year we talked.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really, really happy to be here. And thank you, man. I really just want to share some gratitude, not only for having me on the show, but for everything that you're doing, everything that you've done, everything you will continue to do. You are clearly being the light that you want to see in the world. You are clearly making a difference in people's lives. You are leaving a legacy for your family, for those you love, and thank you for being you.
I'm gonna receive and say thank you. I appreciate that. So, on behalf of Ryan and myself, for your sake, for my sake, for shit's sake, for our sake, start your revolution, people. Start your revolution in light, in love, in shadows, and in joy. And we will see you next time. Take care. Hope you enjoyed the Golden Mike podcast. There's more good stuff coming your way. But until the next episode, let's stay in touch, yes? Find us on Instagram as TheJoyRev, TheJoyRev. Or communicate with like-minded revolutionaries in our Facebook group. Search The Joy Revolution Underground. And of course, don't forget to check out the classes, articles, blogs, and some serious fun at joyrevolution.com. That's joyrevolution.com. Now, until then, what will you do to change history for the better? Let's go out and play, shall we? Press start to begin.